The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
The Parashas for this week are Vayakel Pekudei. Vayakel Pekudei deals with the building, the construction of the Mishkan of the sanctuary, like we've been learning in the Torah for the last number of parshas. A few weeks ago, which was Parshas Truma, there the Torah commanded us in building the various kelim, the various objects that were to be placed in the sanctuary, and amongst them was, for the very most important one, the Mizbeach, the altar. And I gave a shiur on the Mizbeach that evening. I'd like to give a supplement now to what we said about that. I'm just first, though, going to review some of the major principles that we mentioned then. The Torah told us, firstly, in Parshas Truman Perek of Zayin, Vosiso es haMizbeach atzei shitim. The altar was the object which was used for the sacrifices, and it was in the courtyard. The sanctuary was divided with the courtyard, and then there was the Mishkan. The Mishkan was a covered area, and that was divided into two parts, the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodeshim. And the Mishkan was constructed in the Midbar in the desert, went with Klal Yisrael in the desert, came into Eretz Yisrael, was in a number of places in Eretz Yisrael over a period of many, many years, and then eventually came to Yerushalayim by Dovid HaMelech and his son Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, and there it became the Beis HaMikdash. It was enlarged, broadened, and it became the Beis HaMikdash. Now on the Mizbeach it states that you shall make a Mizbeach out of sheeting wood, and Vitzipiso Eisei Nechoshes, it should be covered with overlaid with copper. At the end of Parshas Yisro, there the Torah tells us Mizbach Adomot Aseli, that you should make an altar of earth. You shall sacrifice the burnt offerings and so forth. And then further it states, we have a commandment to make an altar of stone. The sages explain that it was made of copper, like we said, wood, and it was overlaid with copper. We were commanded to make it with earth. That means, from here we learn our two halachos, that firstly it should be placed directly on the earth. It should not be placed on anything, anything, partitions, which is going to be between the Mizbeach and the earth. And also it should not be placed on a hollow in the earth, but directly on the earth. Secondly, it should be filled with earth. That the Mizbeach Nechoshes, the copper Mizbeach, when it was stationary, became filled with earth. And then, this that it states, Mizbeach Avonim Taseli, that it should be made from stone, this is when we came to the Beis Olamim, to the Beis HaMikdosh, the permanent place in Yerushalayim, then it was constructed of stones. And therefore it had a number of names. It was referred to as the Mizbeach Nechoshes. The copper Mizbeach, the Mizbeach Adoma, the Mizbeach which was made from earth, the Mizbeach Havonim, the Mizbeach which was made from stones. It was also called the Mizbeach Achitzon, the outer altar, because there was an inner altar in the Kodesh. And it was also called the Mizbeach Ola, because this was the place, the major place for the sacrifices. A second principle which we mentioned was the importance of this Mizbeach. Excuse me, could you get to this? Give me the Rambam and Hilchos Beis HaBechira. It would be the Rambam and now it doesn't say Beis HaBechira, what will it say? It'll say okay, thank you. Avodah. The Rambam brings in the beginning of Hilchos Beis HaBechira first halacha, mitzvus esei la'asis bayis la'Hashem. We are obligated to build a house for Hashem. And he brings two reasons. And the first reason is muchan liyais makrivin bayakorbonas. So it would be a place where we can bring sacrifices. Second reason he brings is chegin elav shleish pomim bashona. And a place where for three times a year all of Israel comes to. This was during the Regolim, during the Yom Tevi. So the first reason should be a place for sacrifices tells us that the prime object in the Mishkan was the Mizbeach, the altar. This was the place for the sacrifices. Secondly, the Rambam brings from the Gemara, and this is in the second perek, the beginning of the second perek, HaMizbeach became a Mechuvim B'Yeser. The place of the Mizbeach is very, very exact. And this was in Yerushalayim and Harabais. And never are we allowed to change this place. Why? Because in this very place was Nekad Yitzchok Avinu. This is where Abraham brought Yitzchok to offer him to Hashem. This was Har HaMoriah. In this very place, in this very place is where David and Shlomo, when they built the Mizbeach and they built the Beis HaMikdash, they bought this place from Arana and Ayavusi. This is where the Mizbeach was placed. U'Meseiris Biyarakol, and we have it through Meseiris, through a directed tradition, that this is the place where Noach sacrificed to Hashem when he came out of the ark at the time of the great flood. And this is the place where Cain and Hevel, the two sons of Adam HaRishon, the first men, the first man, they sacrificed to Hashem. Ubay hikriv Adam HaRishon korban kitchin divin mishon. And when Adam HaRishon, the first man, when he was created, he brought a sacrifice to Hashem. He sacrificed in this place. Omru Chachomim Adam Mimokam Kaporose Nivro. The Chachomim say that man was created from this very place. This means that it tells us in the Torah, by Yitzar Hashem Adam Ofar Min Hadoma, that Hashem created man from the earth. Which earth did he take? He took the earth from the altar. The Rashi and that pasuk in Bereishis, that man was created from the earth of the altar, Rashi brings two interpretations from the sages. Firstly, Rashi says that Hashem took a little earth from all over the world to create man. So wherever he will die, the earth will be koltosai likfura. The earth will bring him back for burial because it's the same earth. And then the second interpretation he brings from the sages, that we could also say that he was created from the very earth where the place of the Mizbeach is, and that will be his kapora. That will atone for him, because the purpose of the Mizbeach was for kapora, for atonement. And this way he will be able to sustain himself in the world. So we brought in that shir from the Gurai, the Marau, where he explains the second interpretation. And he says that the altar was the very foundation of the world, the place of the altar. It's the very center of the world. And from there the rest of the world came, the rest of the earth came. It's as if the rest of the earth grew out from that place. Because Eretz Yisrael is in the center of the civilization, the civilized world. And Sion and Yerushalayim are in the center of Eretz Yisrael. And the Har HaBayis in the place of the Beis HaMikdash is in the center of Yerushalayim. And the altar was in the center of the Beis HaMikdash. And he writes that always the center is where you find the perfect balance. The perfect balance in moderation, yosher, straight, and shlemus. Whenever you deviate from the center, there you find the extremities, the imbalances. This is what we find, for example, in the physical world. If you go too far north, it gets too cold. If you go too far south, it's too hot. This is what we find in the Zmani Hashono, when the earth is in perfect relationship to the sun, so the days are moderate. You have an equal hours in days and in nights. As it comes closer to the sun, it's an extreme, so then we head towards very long days and short nights and extreme temperatures. As it goes further away from the sun to the extreme, so we're heading for very long nights and short days and extreme cold temperatures. And we find even in the Zmani Hashona, the Yom Tovim of Pesach and Sukkot or Rosh Hashanah come in Nisan and in Tishrei. These were the midpoints of the year. And this is what we find in all things. So therefore he says that the fact that man was created from this earth, this was the greatest quality of earth, and this was a quality of earth that all of the earth could identify with. And therefore, wherever he would die, Shomtei Kol Tosei, the earth would gather him in. And it was also because of this that this was the place for Kapora, for atonement. Because the mitzvahs of the Torah are Yoshor, Pekudi Hashem Yishorim. And Yoshor means perfectly straight, not to the right and not to the left. Hate, on the other hand, when a person does sin, this is a deviation from center. Evilness is a deviation from the center. The Mizbeach was placed in this place because through this it brings a person back to the center. And it gives him kapora, it gives him atonement. And then he's able to sustain himself in this world. Now, all of this that we're saying is especially in regards to the Mizbeach, because this was the main place where Klal Yisrael served HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the main avoda, the main service of the entire Beis HaMikdash was through the Mizbeach and through the sacrifices. And this was the connecting point that they had with Hashem. And therefore, it was very important that the Mizbeach should be right at this place. These were the major points which we mentioned last week. Now I'd like to go a little further into this. At the end of Parshas Yisro, which we just quoted, the Torah says as follows. First it says, Leisasun iti, this is in Pasuk Chof, at the end of Parshas Yisro, Leisasun iti alehi chesev aleizov leisasu lachem. You shall not make in my presence gods of silver or gods of gold. So this is an azora, this is a prohibition for avodah zara, for idolatry. Then it states, Mizbach Adom Ta'aseli, you shall make the altar from earth. And then it states, Mizbach Avonim Ta'aseli, you shall make the altar from stone. And then it tells us, Leisiv Ne'asen Gozis, when you make from stone, you shall not cut it with a metal, with something of iron. Ki char b'choy nafta oleo v'techal aleho. Because if you bring iron upon it, it's a sword, you will desecrate it. And then the Torah tells us, "V'leisale b'malos al mizbechi," you shall not walk up. You shall not make steps to the altar. The altar was very high, so you had to have some way of getting up on top. The kahanim, you should not make steps going up, but rather it should just be an incline. Asher leisigole ervosko olav. Because if there's steps, then that person is going to have to take large steps. And the Torah considers this a gilui erva, a disgrace to the stones of the steps, or to the altar. Even though this is not a gilui erva, Rashi explains, at all, he's not actually uncovering any nakedness, nevertheless, this is still considered minig bizoin, a disgrace to the avonim, to the stones of the altar. Now on this we have a number of questions. That why are we commanded on the building of the Mizbeach immediately after we are commanded that we should not make gods of gold or silver? What does one thing have to do with the other? And secondly, why were we commanded to build the Mizbeach out of earth, like we mentioned, and also out of avonim, out of stones? And thirdly, here we see that there was a kepeda, there was a definite negative factor, a definite prohibition that we should not cut the stones with a cherub, with a sword, with any iron. And we must be extremely careful that there shouldn't be the slightest degree of gilui erva, of the disgrace of an exposure of nakedness to the stones of the Mizbeach. Now, why here? Why do we find this specifically here? We do not find this in other places of the Torah. Many places we use iron. We use iron to cut and so forth. In the Sefer Tiferes Yisrael of the Maral, in Perek Mem Vov, and in Perek Lamed Ches, he gives an elaborate explanation, which we will try to understand some of it this evening. The sages always referred to Aveda Zora, to idolatry, as a Keach Chitzoni. They use that term, a Keach Chitzoni, an outside force. What is the reason for this? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, he is called the Ikor. For example, we have the term, when someone denies Hashem, it states, Kofar bi-Ikor. He is denying the Ikor. What does Ikor mean? The Ikor actually means a trunk of a tree. So why is he compared to the trunk of a tree? The trunk of the tree is the midpoint of the tree. From there grows its sharoshim, its roots. The roots grow downwards and they grow in all directions. And from there, from the trunk, grows the branches of the tree, and they grow upwards and in all directions. They grow from the trunk, and the trunk sustains all of this. Kach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The same with Hashem. Hashem is known as the Ikor because he's the Emsa of the Bria. He is the set central point of creation. From this central point comes all of creation, downwards, upwards, and in all directions. And from this central point, he sustains, the world is sustained. Therefore, he is called the Ikor. And he is the Emtza. Therefore, when people make other gods, idolatry, other beliefs. These are not powers or forces or ideologies that are coming from the emsa, from the center, but rather they're coming from the outside, from the extremities. Therefore, the sages always refer to them as ekea chitzeni, outside forces or outside powers. The Loshon Acher, they use the word Acher. We could say, accordingly, the word in Hebrew, Acher, has a similar word, Ochor. Acher means another. Ochor means backwards, behind you. Because Ochor refers also to another side. And this could be the reason why the sages also would refer to, for example, Keches Hatuma, powers that come from impure sources. Keches HaKishuf, powers that would come from sorcery or Satanism. They refer to this as Keches HaBoi Me'achure Abriya, powers which were coming from the other side of the creation, the back side of the creation. This is in converse to powers coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the Emsa, the midpoint, the central point, the Merkas of the creation. From here we can understand also, what does it mean, Lo yiyah lecha elohim acherim, you shall not make for yourselves elohim acherim, gods of others. Also it refers to this, gods which come from other sides. And also we find the Gemara brings that there was a great Tana, Rabbi of the Mishnah, but tragically it was Ketzer Netzias. Tragically he became an apocatus, an atheist, and so forth. And after that the sages would refer him to as Acher. See, they called him Acher. This is, could be also why we find that it was always the common Avodah Zarah. We will find exceptions to it, but it was the common practice of idolatry and of idolaters to worship the extremities, not the central points of the world. For example, they would worship the highest mountains. You find them in the Himalayas or Tibet or other such places. They would worship the great seas. They would worship the extreme forces of the world. There was a god of fire, the god of the cold. Because they attached themselves not to the center of the creation, but rather to the extremities of the creation. Or you would find there are many stories written where they find on remote islands Avodah Zarah, idolatry by ancient tribes. Although idolatry is not ancient, you shouldn't think it's ancient, it's very, very prevalent. The fact is the majority of the world is either they are idolaters or they're very close to idolatry or atheism and so forth. But they would find monuments which were worshipped, and these were huge, huge stones. And the people would always wonder how they moved these stones and how they brought them there. But always of an extreme measure. Now, this explains to us why we were commanded in the building of the Mizbeach, immediately after we were prohibited, Leshasun iti elehei chesev elehei chesev elehei zohor. You shall not make for yourself gods of silver or gods of gold. because the altar represented the Mokem HaChibur, the connecting point of Klal Yisrael with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as we mentioned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Emsa, he is the middle of the creation. And therefore the altar was placed in the middle of the creation. And this was the connecting point. This is what brought Klal Yisrael, this is where Klal Yisrael was brought to him. So this is the exact converse of Aveiros Ora, of idolatry, which are the Keach HaChitzonis, the outside forces. While here we are speaking of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the Ikur, the trunk, the force from within, which the whole world grew out from. Secondly, is why we were commanded that it had to be with earth in it. What does earth represent? Actually, earth represents the emtzois of the world, the middle of the world. Because in the earth there is no extremity. This was the central point of the creation. It's interesting though, generally we do not find idolaters that worship the earth. Now, we were commanded further that we should not bring the sword on the Mizbeach, and we have to be very, very careful with disgracing the Mizbeach with erva, with any type, any degree of promiscuity. Now, why especially over here? There are two great forces in the world. One is called Avo, and the other is called Yireh. The force of Avo, which is love, and the force of Yireh, which is fear. And it's brought that the force of Avo is in the right hand, and the force of Yireh is in the left hand. Now these are great forces and good forces. When there's a control over them, when they are used properly, we find these forces in HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Consistently, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings many, many times the mitzvah v'ahavta, you shall love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how much he loves Klal Yisrael, and so forth, and you shall fear him. And from Avo, the sages tell us, come the chesed, the loving kindliness. And all of our mitzvahs asays, all of our positive commandments are built from the keach of Avo. And then there's the Yireh, which from the Yireh comes din and mishpot. This is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges people. And he judges people according to the exact din, to the exactness of what is right and wrong. And from here, the sages tell us, come all of the this is the source of the leisasses, of the negative prohibitions in the Torah. Avraham Avinu, he was known as the Amud Avo, the pillar of Avo. He is called Ohavi, my beloved, HaKadosh Baruch Hu called him. Yitzchok, his son, became known as the pillar of Yireh. As it states, when Yaakov swore by Yitzchok, by the God of Yitzchok, he called the God of Yitzchok Pachad Yitzchok, the fear of my father Yitzchok. However, we find that from Abraham came out, besides Yitzchok, a good son, a bad son, Ishmael. Ishmael represented Keach Avo, the power of Avo, the Ligbul, without boundaries. And Avo, the Ligbul, without boundaries, without control, this becomes unbridled physical desire. Taiva Guftias. And that's desire for physical man to take whatever it desires. And this is referred to as erva. And erva also designates in many places in the Torah bizayin, something which is disgrace and shame. Why? Because unbridled physical desires without a self-control, without a shilton, without a control from the intelligence of the person, from the discipline of the person, that the sages say is a maisa behema. This is the act of an animal. Because what is an animal? An animal is some creature which is very, very physical, and he fulfills his physical instincts at will. He does not have the keach ha-sechel. He does not have the power of the intelligence, of the intellect, to control himself. Now, this is good in an animal because the animal was created this way. But this is the greatest shame for the Adam, because man was created b'tzelem Elokim, in the image of Hashem. And the image of Hashem that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to man, which gave him his soul, and gave him his intellect, and it gave him the special image from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his special radiance, this image gave to man the keach hashulton, the power of malchus, to be a sovereign and to rule over all of the animals. This is why it states in the very pasuk in Bereishis, where it says that nase ha'odom b'tzalmeinu kidmuseinu, let us make man in our own image. In that very pasuk, it carries on to say, v'yirdu b'digas hayom u'be'ef hashamayim. Yirdu, the Targum says, yishlatu, and he will rule from the fish of the sea to the birds of the heaven. So therefore, the whole upliftment of man is that he was made as a king over this world. And what makes him into that king? Nasa Adam b'tzalmeinu kidmuseinu b'tzelem Elokim, the image of Hashem. And that image of Hashem makes him a melech, a king, to reign over himself and over the world. Well, the animals and all the creatures that were made to be servants to him, because they cannot reign over themselves. So therefore, if a person sinks to the level where he merely tries to satisfy and gratify all of his physical instincts and desires, this is called erva, because this is a great disgrace to the human being. It brings him to the level of the animal. This was Ishmael, and this is why it states on Ishmael Pera Odom Yoda Bakol. Pera Odom means a man without control, a man who is wild. He has lost the shilton of the tzelem, of the seichel. No longer can he control himself, and since he can no longer control himself, Yoda Bakol, his hand stretches to take everything which he desires. This was Ishmael and his nation. This was Mitzrayim. This was Egypt, where they were called the land of abominations. Yitzchok, on the other hand, he gave birth to Yaakov, but he also gave birth to Esav. What was Esav? Yitzchok was keach hayira. He had this power where he would see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all of his greatness, and therefore he had an enormous respect and fear and awe from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like when one comes and he sees the greatness of the sea, or he looks up and he sees the towering mountains, Esav was Yerubalaitvul. He was this power, but without any boundaries. What happens if you have Yerubalaitvul, this power, but without boundaries, without any control? From here comes Hasina, hatred, chaos, anger, Nikoma, revenge, Achzorius, cruelty, Ritzicho, Shvichas Domim, and Melchoma. Murder, bloodshed, and war. And this, the Torah and the sages refer to as the Keah HaCherev, the power of the sword. And this is why Esav, his father told him, Al Charbe Chotichya, you will live by the sword. That's what we find nations that have no control over themselves. Yodabakol, they take everything that the body desires. On the other hand, you can have nations that have enormous discipline over themselves, but they thrive and they live on cruelty, on shfichas domim, on milchom, on war. One side are the nations of Yishmael and other such nations in the world, and the other were the nations of Esav and other such nations in the world. Now, these two powers, one is called, we called Ervon, the other is called Cherev, they are total deviations from the center. One is a deviation too far to the right, and the other is a deviation too far to the left. And because they're deviations from the center, they are deviations from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the center. And also because of that, because they deviate so far, they will be attached to Keach Chitzenius. They will be attached to other forces, to Keachas of Aveda Zorah, to Keach of idolatry. Where do we find that? We find that the idolaters who express themselves in idolatry, today we have a lot of idolaters that don't express themselves in idolatry, but they're the same idolaters, but who express themselves. They have, for example, the gods of love, and they had the gods of war. What came from the gods of love? Orgies, deviations, abominations. This was the Ervo. What came from the gods of war? The gods of war, you should realize, the gods of war came war, but you should realize that every great tyrant, almost without exception, a great tyrant starts to view himself as a person, an individual with divine powers. This was true by Paroi. Paroi wanted to take on God. I'm a God. This was true by Nebuchadnezzar. The Gemara says, Nebuchadnezzar says, where is your God? Bring him here and I'll make war with him. The Gemara brings, this was true with Hiram. This was true with Ahasuerus. But this is not ancient history. This was true with Marat also. This was true with Napoleon. This was true with the Tsars of Russia. This was true with the Caesars of Rome. This was true with Hitler, Yamach Shemai. When they come to a certain measure of power, then they start to view their power, that that's a divine power that was given to them. But not, wasn't given to them from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The view is a divine power given to them from the gods of war. It comes from evil sources. And they start to view themselves as this. So these are the attachments that these powers make with these outside forces. The gods of love that led them totally astray to one side, to sink in the lowest abominations of mankind, animalistic abominations. And on the other hand, the gods of war to sink to the greatest cruelty of mankind, where a tyrant can justify himself and give himself the right to kill off 1 million people, 2 million people, 10 million people, 20 million people. And from here comes other such concepts as holy wars, crusaders, and so forth. Now, the converse to all of this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who dwells exactly in the center. And in mankind, this was Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov was the perfection of Avraham and Yitzchok. Yishmael and Esav, that was known as the Pselis, the imperfections of Avraham and Yitzchok. But Yaakov was the perfection. And that's why he is called Ishtam Yeshiva Olim. Ishtam, the Targum says Sholem. Totally balanced. In the center. Yeshiva Olim, who dwells in the tents of Torah, the Torah is in the center. Pekudi Hashem Yishorim, the Torah is upright. It's neither to the right or to the left. He was called Yoshor. And he was given the name Yisrael. And his children were called Yeshura from Yoshua. And this is why Tzuros HaChok Kalkisi HaKovod, it states that the face of Yaakov is hewed out on the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to show how closely he identifies with Hashem. And the Beis HaMikdash in particular was Meyuchad, identifies in particular with Yaakov. Where do we find this? Because the Gemara says that Abraham, when he saw the place of the Beis HaMikdash, he called it a har, a mountain. He says, "Beroa es hahor meirochek." He saw Har Moriah from far away. And Yitzchok, he called it a sode, a field. When he went to Lasuach Basode, when Eliezer brought Rivka to him, and he was davening there, he called it a field. And Yaakov called it a bayis, where Yaakov slept that night, and he had the dream with the sulam, with the ladder. In the morning he woke up and he said, "Ein zekim beis elakim." This is the bayis, the house of Hashem. It was on that place. And Hashem said that I will call it not like Avraham, that called it a mountain, and not like Yitzchok, that called it a field, but like Yaakov, that called it a bayis. And a little of the deeper meaning of it is because a mountain is something which is very, very elevated, but it's too elevated. It's remote. It's in the Himalayas. It's not in the Yishuv. It's not in civilization. A field is closer to civilization. A field is we use, we plant. But it's still a little too far away. A bayis is a home. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be right with Klal Yisrael in a home. And this is what Yaakov made it into. So he identifies in particular because he was right in that center. And from him came the 12 Shvatim, where they were all perfect, it states. He had no imperfections in his sons. And they were called by his name. And from him came Yisrael, the nation. And he was called a Kodesh, and Yisrael a Kadoshim. This is the Kedush of Yisrael, where they do not deviate to the right or to the left. Therefore, we understand very well why here, when it comes to the building of the Mizbeach in particular, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "You shall not use any iron on it, because you'll use a cherev on it. That will desecrate it. And you shall not, you must be careful of even the smallest degree of gilui ervo, of promiscuity, or bizoin, because that will desecrate it. Because this is to the right and this is to the left, and the mokaman mizbeach is the chibor, is the connecting point with HaKadosh Baruch Hu right in the center." And the Rambam mentions, as we said, that the Beis HaMikdash was for two purposes. One is that Klal Yisrael, this is a place where it was set for sacrifices. Muchen liyos makrivim bekarbonos. Secondly, Chaygin Elov Shleish Pomim Bashona, where all of Yisrael will come 3 times a year. Now, actually, these two purposes are really one. Why? He's referring here, the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash was to bring totality, Shleimus, and Achdus, and unity, to Klal Yisrael. That was the purpose. Through the sacrifices, it brought unity to Klal Yisrael with Avinu Shebishamayim, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The whole word Korban comes from the word Korov. It brought them close. The one who brings the Korban is brought close to the one he's bringing it to. And through the Beis HaMikdash, it was a central point for all of Yisrael to come. This brought unity and totality to all of Yisrael together. So the two points are basically one. The purpose of the Beis HaMikdash and the Mizbeach in particular was to unify Klal Yisrael as one amongst themselves and with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi here in Yisro mentions 2 points which are also one. There he's speaking about the Cherub. He says the Mizbeach was made Laharich Yomav Shel Odom, to give people long life, while the Cherub was made to shorten lives of people. It was made for war. And then he also brings that the Mizbeach was made to make peace between Yisrael and Avinu Shebishamayim, the Father in Heaven, like we mentioned. Now this is also one, because where do we get life from? We have to get life from the source of life. The source of life is the Emtz HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When there's peace between us and Hashem, which means we are close together, then we get life. Atem advekim b'Hashem Elokeichem. When we come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're coming close to the source of life. This is where we get life. Now, with this we understand very well that what the Gemara brings, it's a Mishnah, the last Mishnah Masechta Zbochim. It states that there was a time when Kol Echad Ve'Echad is Eisa Boma L'Atzmai, when everyone had their own private altars and they could sacrifice as they wanted to. But once we came to Yushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash, Nasru HaBomas La'Elam, the private altars became prohibited forever. And we were never allowed again private altars, because the only altar was that to be the one in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Medrash Rabbah brings, what did that represent? Because the private bomos represented pirud. It represented we scattered, splintered. This one went there, and this one went there. Kol echad v'echad eis boma l'atzma. While the Beis HaMikdash, which is Mizbeach, which was one Mizbeach, this represented the unity, the Achdus of HaKadosh, of Klal Yisrael. Actually, there's a Maralim Gurayi who says something very deep, that we were also prohibited to make a matseva. Even when we were commanded to build the altar, it could not be a matseva. What is a matseva? The matseva was to take a large single stone, and that was used as an altar. We were commanded to take many small stones. Mizbeach avonim tasila. Well, what's the difference? So he brings, this is something very deep. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's sonui, it's hated to him, the matseva, because the goyim used it, the idolaters used it. Now what's the difference if you use for an altar a large single stone, or if you use on an altar, avonim mizbeach tasali, many small stones. This has to do with what we said before. The problem with the idolaters and the problem with the atheists, what is their problem? Their problem is, he says, is that they can only look at everything from a single perspective. They cannot look at something as a whole. They see the world as many single forces. Each force they see as a unit by itself. There's the fire, an enormous force, so it becomes a god of fire. There's the sea, an enormous force, so it becomes the god of the sea. There's the rains, an enormous force, so there's a god of the rains. Pharaoh was known as the god of the Nile, because the Nile was a mighty river. There were gods of other rivers. They see war, there was a god of war. They see peace, so there was a god of love. They view every force as a single, isolated force. And they do not have the power. They do not have the type of intellect that can be makif, that can look at all of these forces as one unit. Actually, these forces seem all contradictory, because fire is contradictory to water. And actually, the fire and the water fight with each other all of the time. The rains put out the fire, and the fire dries up the water. You have a drought, there's no water left in the earth. War and peace are contradictory. And that's why in their minds and in their writings, the gods were at war with each other. The gods were at war with each other. Each element they saw as a force, an individual force, an isolated force. And they would choose which ones to serve. This is what the Matseva represented. They would take a large stone, and you see by some the larger the better, a large single stone, and it represented one of these single forces, and they would worship it. But there was constant strife in the world. Gods were at war with each other. Israel had the ability, the talent, the skill, whatever, to have a Or HaMakif, not to view the forces as individual, isolated forces that are working against each other, but as seen all of the forces in the creation unified under one force and worship that one force. And that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what, when we say Oseh Shalom Bimreimov, what does it mean, Oseh Shalom Bimreimov, he who makes peace on high? To really appreciate what that means, you have to be a master of astronomy. The Gemara says it's a great mitzvah to learn astronomy, because you will see the Niflais Hashem. There's something I can't tell you. Astronomers will tell you that you cannot imagine in a million years what is going on up there. It would take mankind millions of years to understand one little degree of what's going on up there. I like to say over the story that actually I heard this from our Rebbe Reb Gifter, where he quoted it from Time magazine, that when Albert Einstein made a tremendous breakthrough which would revolutionize the whole study of astronomy, they asked him, "This is going to change everything, isn't it?" He says, "I'll tell you what will change." He says, "Before, we were looking at the heavens through a telescope from the window. Now we will be able to look at the heavens from a telescope on the roof of the house. That's what is going to change." In other words, we've moved a fraction of an inch. That's what's up there. There are literally not thousands and not millions, but billions of galaxies and of stars and of planets and of bodies and whatnot. It's endless. Every new periscope and every new telescope that is invented does not teach us anything more, the astronomers write, but it only opens a window to new endless space. And everything up there works on the microsecond. On the microsecond. Where they can calculate the position of a certain star 150 years from now. Or the position of a certain comet of 150 years from now. To the second. Everything works in perfection. And if heaven forbid it won't work in perfection, it will be quite a calamity. This is what is meant when we say, Ose Shalom Bimromov, he who has made peace between the billions of forces that he had created up there. Now this can only come from a general, from a central force. According to the idolaters, there would have been a churban a long time ago. That's why we ask him, if he can make peace up there, he should be able to make peace here. It seems to be more difficult to make peace here than up there. Now, that's why we were commanded not to make an altar of a giant rock, but to take many stones and put them all together and unite them, unify them into one, because this represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the Emcha, and from him comes the entire creation, and from him he makes Shalom in the entire creation. With this we perhaps also can understand, it's a very interesting medrash, perhaps a bit of it. The medrash is a medrash Rabba Noso, Pashis Yud Aleph Os Tes Zayin. Reb Lezer ben Eishel, Reb Lezer HaKofa Emer, Sha'afil Yisrael Evdina Ve'rezora, V'sholem B'neihem. When Yisrael, heaven forbid, when they went off and became idolaters, there were many times in the Tanakh we find this, certain factions of Israel. He says if they went after idolatry, but they were still Shalom B'nehem, but they were still unified amongst themselves, it's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ein Asohem Negei B'nehem. The Satan can have no force over them. As it states, Chiba Tzabim Ephraim Hanachlei, that even when Ephraim went to the idols, but there was peace and unity amongst them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, leave them alone, I cannot punish them. Aval Mishenechleku, but once there was division amongst them, Neba Bahem Cholak Libom, there was division and strifes from their hearts to each other, Ato Yeoshmu, now I can punish them. When Israel, if there's unity between them, this means they're still in the center. If there's unity between them, they're still in the center. This that they're worshipping idols on the side, this becomes insignificant. This is meaningless. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I cannot force them. I cannot punish them. But if they're worshipping idols and they are divided and split, this means they have gone astray from the center. They have gone far from me. Then, he said, I can bring punishment. In conclusion, so this gives us the understanding why first we were commanded not to make the gods of silver and gold, and then we should make the Mizbeach, because these are the keches hachitzenius, the outside powers. Well, the Mizbeach represented the very heart of the universe. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is the heart of the universe. And why the Torah was so particular that we should not bring any iron near the Mizbeach or any ervo near the Mizbeach, and why it should be made from the earth and from the stones. Now, actually, I'd like to conclude that really all of this is merumish. It's subtly hinted to in the creation of the world. In the creation of the world, Kodesh Baruch Hu put man in Gan Eden. And there it states that there was the Eitz HaChaim Teich HaGan, the tree of life, Toch HaGan. Toch means, Rashi says, Emtza, in the middle of the garden. And there was the Eitz Hadas Tevara, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, since it says in the middle by the Eitz HaChaim, and it doesn't say that by the Eitz of Das, this implies that was off to a side. And the Tanna Rebbe Eliyahu says that the Eitz HaChaim represented the Torah. It was merumas to the Torah. Why? Because on the Torah it states, Eitz Chaim hi lemachazikim bo. It's a tree of life to those who hold it. And this is why it was in the middle, and this is what we're speaking about. This represented the Torah that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this is the connection point with the world. And man was commanded that he should eat from all of the trees and the Eitz HaChaim. He should go and cleave to this tree of life. But on the tree of knowledge of good and evil, there it's, he was told, do not eat from it. Ki b'yema cholcho mimeno meis tomos. The day you will eat from it, you will die. That was the keach ocher, achitzena. That was the deviation. That was the keches on the side, the other side of the creation. A man was told to keep your distance from there. Now why would that bring death? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the giver of life. If you're in the center, you will cleave to him, you will have life. Eitz Chaim hi lemachazik bo. It's a tree of life to those who cleave to it. But if you go away from it, you're going away from the source of life. That will bring death. Now, so what do we see? They went and they ate. That tree brought death to the world. That's the cherev. That's the sword. We see further though, it didn't only bring death to the world, it also brought erva to the world. Because when they ate from it, it states, "Batipokachna einashnehem," both of the eyes were opened, "Biyoduki erumimhem," and now they realized that they were naked, "Biyisfru aleteinon," they went to cover their nakedness because they were ashamed. It brought disgrace to them. And the measure of Giloy Erba. While before they ate from it, the Torah tells us they were naked, Belayis Beishoshu, and they were not ashamed. So we see that in the middle of the garden was the source of life. This was the cleaving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Keach HaChitzenius, the exterior powers, forces, that was the Eitz Hadas Tevara. And when they went to cleave to that, that brought death, that brought cherev, and that brought erva. So what we are saying is subtly implied in the creation of the world. This gives us some further insights into the Mizbeach.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226 Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.